The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
The first submissions to the government's working group on defective homes indicates the cost of remedying Celtic Tiger-era building defects will be at least £365 million. The Construction Defects Alliance, which represents almost 400 affected homeowners, suggests in its submission that this sum is the tip of the iceberg, with almost 21,000 impacted units now identified. On the line, coordinator of the Construction Defects Alliance, Pat Montague. Pat, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
The defects in question can be categorised in, I suppose, three different areas. What are they?
Well, the main one and the significant one is what's referred to as fire defects. But in reality, it's a hidden thing. It's basically where fire stopping, which is the material that's used to stop fire spreading from common areas to apartments or from one apartment to another, is basically either missing or poorly installed. And that's the major issue, and we'll come back to that shortly. Other ones then too are problems with roofs, where roofs have come off completely or where they are leaking badly. And then the other issue relates to balconies, and where balconies, it's not so much a safety issue but a water issue, where basically balconies are allowing water get in to common areas and apartments. And so it's basically fire defects and water ingress, water coming in, are the major problems that are facing the apartments.
Now, obviously, fire the most severe, because if you've got water ingress, you have a chance to, you know, put on your wellies and get out of there. In the case of fire, time is of the essence. So do we know for sure that all the fire defects in apartment buildings at least have been identified, if not remedied?
No, they haven't. And that's no to both questions. So the reality is that you will only... The issue about the fire defects, you actually have to do what are called opening up works. And in other words, you have to go in behind the walls or go into the cavities in the ceilings, in the external walls, or indeed under the floor to see whether fire stopping has been installed. And sorry, the other one too is fire doors, making sure that fire doors are indeed properly sealed. And unfortunately, most cases they identify that fire doors, both in common areas but also people's front doors, are not properly fire sealed. So do not provide people with what's referred to as the golden hour, which is the golden hour is to allow one, fire services to get to the seat of the fire in a timely manner and put it out. But also the golden hour is there to allow both the residents of the apartment concerned and their neighbours to evacuate in a calm and safe manner. When fire stopping isn't there, unfortunately, then fire spreads much more quickly. And it's sort of an insidious, hidden issue. So coming back to your question, the reality is that the majority of apartments don't know yet whether they have sufficient fire stopping in place. And to be frank, a lot of people suspect, but they don't want to know. And the reason they don't want to know is because it has immediate consequence in terms of the cost of their insurance, their ability to sell their apartments, and other costs in terms of their service charges going up. So there are a lot of people, frankly, who are sitting on things that they suspect are there, but don't want to know because they're so afraid of the consequences. And you're right. The other consequences, of course, are consequences could be fatal.
Now, the average cost to repair each of these units, and we can only talk about averages because some will be very badly served and others will be less badly served by these defects. So what's the average per unit?
Well, the average from just based on what the information that's come to us from the 106 developments that we're aware of around the country that have defects, only a number have given us sort of figures, because not all of them, frankly, are at the stage of even having got to the stage of actually working out what costs are. But you're talking about, it's I think, €17,350 in and around that. Our sense all along, Pat, was always that it was around 15,000, with sort of 5,000 being the lower end. But we know of one particular development in the Midlands where 72,000 per unit is the remediation levy. Now, yeah.
I have to ask you, Pat, who is responsible for this? Because you had builders building and then you had inspectors inspecting and then people signing off on things. So who should carry the can?
Well, you're obviously getting to the nub of the question. There are a number of layers to this. In the first instance, most of these things were built during the Celtic Tiger era when the construction industry was hugely overstretched. I think it's also worth noting that actually until that time, apartment buildings were a rarity in Ireland. So we were mainly used to building, semi-Ds or one-off housing. So they were a rarity. So unfortunately, there certainly was a problem in terms of really poor workmanship in terms of installing things. I've seen examples, Pat, that would make the hair stand up in the back of your neck, where, you know, somebody had rammed a cardboard coffee cup into a cavity in lieu of fire-stopping material, or had put plastic wrappers, again, into another cavity in lieu of fire-stopping. In other cases, I was up only a few weeks ago in a development in North County Dublin, where the external cavities, the cavities in the external walls had fire-stopping in, but they had no fire-stopping in at ceiling, at floor and ceiling level, and indeed even in the roof. So they were completely exposed in that regard. So workmanship was one. You're right about regulation, because the building regulations that were in effect between during the 90s and the noughties up to 2014 were, frankly, very poorly monitored. Local authorities didn't have enough staff in building control. They set themselves a target of 15% to inspect on an annual basis. But I know from having spoken to people who work there that a lot of those inspections were called visuals. They were done literally by drive-bys, that coming up towards the end of the year, people would stop, to would just literally stop outside a development and say, yeah, I've looked at that, it's okay. And then come back to professionals and the sign-off by professionals. All that was required then, and it has changed, I have to stress, since 2014 with the new regulations called BCAR, though they're yet to be tested because the industry really hasn't got back to the same level as before. But basically, all the sign-off was required was, again, coming back to the fire-stopping, that wasn't visible. So all they did was a visual inspection. So the fire-stopping, whether it was in or not, could only be detected literally if you bored holes or took away wall panels and looked in behind. So really what we needed was inspection during construction, at all of the key stages during construction. And that did not happen. That was not required by the previous set of building regulations. So frankly, the problems that have come as a result were due to that. But I do know there are some serial offenders, Pat, and I think it's important to state this. There are some builder developers who have a long list of developments behind them. So there is also an element of clearly that it wasn't just down to, poor workmanship. Frankly, there was some just did not care.
Well, obviously, what these people do is they fold the company that builds the development and then start off a new company to do the next development. So they have the protection of limited liability. But perhaps naming and shaming and taking people to task and, saying, I'm sorry, your limited liability does not cover criminality. Maybe need to go.
Oh, I think, look, you're right. But even on another very basic level, there was one particular serial offender that the Alliance, that this serial developer was applying for a major planning development, applying to Embord Planála under the strategic housing development conditions for a major development in South Dublin. And we objected on the basis of their track record of defective building. But we got the reply from Embord Planála was that their alleged track record of defective building was not relevant to the planning application, so they got planning permission. So there is no deterrent. There's no deterrent. You're absolutely right about limited liability. The other thing that stands in the way is the statute of limitations, Pat. And basically that kicks in after 6 years, and under the court's interpretation here is it's 6 years after the defect becomes manifest. But manifest is not when you discover it. It's obviously when it was discoverable, for want of a better word. And so in a lot of occasions, the 6 years have well passed. So I know one development in South County Dublin where they got one of the largest solicitors practice in the country to give them legal advice about taking legal action. And they came back and said, look, that taking legal action to the High Court would cost $750,000, 25% chance or less of success. And even if they were successful, coming back to what you said, Pat, about limited liability, there was virtually no chance of getting money because the developers put the money, they hold the assets in holding companies, and then they just use special purpose vehicle companies for each development that have no assets. So if you sue them, there's nothing there to get any money from them. So everything's stacked in their favour, unfortunately.
Well, Pat, the question is, will the government cough up? They're coughing up for mica and other structural defects based on bad materials. What about these developers? But I just hate to see the idea of these guys getting away literally with potential murder, because fire is a killer. We know that. Pat Montague, coordinator of the Construction Defects Alliance, thank you very much for opening our eyes, although I suspect we all wondered about the safety of many of those Celtic Tiger developments. Lenders who didn't survey properly and still own some of these properties should contribute to fire safety and other similar retrofitting. That's from Joseph. Another point that can be made is that many of the big commercial firms who own companies, they can write off the cost of retrofitting against tax, whereas the private owner cannot so do, and perhaps that's something that could be rectified.